Chicago's very own WGN.
6:40, time for our Monday morning house call with Dr. Kevin Mullis, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doc, before we get to medical matters and health questions, everything okay out your way after the storm last night?
Yeah, Bob, fortunately, it kind of hit a little bit south of us here at Central DuPage, but certainly our thoughts are out with the people in Naperville and our friends at Edward Hospital who are caring for those who were injured. Just devastating when you look at this. And we all look at tornadoes and say, oh, it's not going to hit us. It's not going to hit us. I think this was a rude awakening of how dangerous these are. And like I said, appreciate the work that the people at Edward Hospital are doing, just taking care of those who are injured and helping out there, because that's not what the emergency room is ready for on a Sunday night. So yeah. Great for them to step up.
Yeah, no one was ready for what happened last night. And I think all you have to do is see one of those pictures on television of a house completely demolished. And then, as is often the case with these tornadoes, homes on either side of the demolished one, perfectly fine. It's really scary.
Yeah, just a reminder that when you do hear those, just for your own safety, you know, take them seriously. We all got our phones, were beeping last night, and we heard these sirens, and often we just don't change anything. And then when you see the devastation, and fortunately, you know, it's been injuries. I don't think there's been any listed fatalities, but it's amazing, and we need to start taking weather more seriously.
Right. Yeah, when you're advised to go to the basement, do it, or go to the first floor, and all you have to do is see some of those pictures, and you understand why they tell us to do that. There was a very interesting story over the weekend about how mRNA technology is altering vaccine treatments. Let's talk about this a little bit, this messenger RNA, or mRNA for short. How is this going to really change the way vaccines are produced in the future?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, you look at the impact of COVID and just on the public health around the world, but what people don't understand as well is the impact this has on the mRNA technology. If you took just the typical vaccine that we had in the past, you know, we would introduce a harmless piece of virus or bacteria into your body to stimulate an immune response. So when you got the influenza vaccine, we put a portion of the influenza virus, that's non-viable, but something to teach the body what to look for. It took a long time to produce those. We produced them in eggs, we produced them in cells, but it was a long time. Now with the mRNA, you know, we're teaching the body to produce a protein that's found for COVID. It's the spike protein. We've all seen pictures of it. Well, now we know that when it changes, we don't have to go back and try to redevelop this and take a portion of that old virus and put it in an egg and grow it and try to make a vaccine. We're fortunate enough now to essentially just take the producing machine that we have, this mRNA, tweak it, and you're talking about an updated vaccine in a matter of days or weeks versus 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, exactly. And before we got the COVID vaccine, I was hearing many medical experts say, well, don't hold your breath, because oftentimes it takes years to come up with a vaccine. And sometimes, there are some diseases we're still working on. We still don't have the vaccine. But all that changed now.
Oh, 100%. You know, there's a couple things. One, the production of it, to the science behind it. You know, when COVID hit in December, you know, we had the full genetic sequence of that in early January, which allowed us to make a vaccine and get it produced. I mean, that when you look at the timing of it, it's unbelievable. But I think what now is going to happen is now we're going to start to look at mRNA vaccines for more things. We're already working on many of them for cancers, melanoma, prostate, bladder, lung, pancreas. So we're really trying to look at other things that we could use mRNA for. So the concept in the cancer is take these abnormal cells that are replicating for some reason, the body hasn't turned them off, try to teach the body that they're foreign with an mRNA vaccine to go in and attack the cancer cells, using your own immune system to fight cancer.
Might that someday replace chemotherapy as we know it completely?
It very well could. You know, a lot of what's happening right now is you're getting both chemotherapy and the immunotherapy because it's such in its early infancy. But boy, if we can perfect this to a point where our own body can identify and do that, you potentially could be thinking of of vaccines to prevent cancer, not to treat them as well, which is just mind-blowing to many of us in the medical field.
That's exciting to everybody. And how soon would the flu vaccine change? I heard a doctor, I think CBS Sunday Morning did a story on this and said everything is wrong about it right now. The very process of making it makes no sense. What did he mean by that?
Well, right now it's such a long time for us to do it. In other words, right now, here we are in what, June? Well, we had to decide back in February what we were going to put into the influenza vaccine for next year that we'll start giving in September, October. With mRNA, we could have waited all the way until potentially June, July, August and say, this is the dominant strain, start making this vaccine. Instead, we're guessing based on what we saw in the previous year. That's why this year is such a wild card, because we didn't see any flu last year. So now we're really trying to guess what's the dominant strain going to be. This upcoming year could be very interesting for influenza, just showing what the impact of COVID and all the mitigation strategies we had to prevent not only COVID, but also show that it prevented influenza.
Talking with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. Interesting question from a listener, Doc. And let's see, let me get it here. Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are both mRNA. Johnson & Johnson is not. Does that mean one is better than the other, and why?
Yeah, as far as which one is better, if you look at the clinical trials and the effective rate, the mRNA ones did better, 94-95% versus J&J, which was at about 80%. J&J took, I don't want to say a different way, but it's definitely different, a more standardized way. We all have viruses that we get throughout the year called the adenovirus. That gives us the common cold. What J&J did is they took a common adenovirus, stopped it from replicating, and essentially embedded a portion of the spike protein into it. And that's what they're using. So when you get a Johnson & Johnson, you're getting this benign virus that now has taught the body to do the exact same thing that the mRNA was, is look for that spike protein. The mRNA ones obviously are a little bit better at doing that than the Johnson & Johnson. But again, everyone has to remember that the Johnson & Johnson was a single shot. We don't know the outcome. They ran a double shot study. We don't know the outcome of that yet because the effectiveness of the single shot was as good as it was. But yes, two totally different ways. Johnson & Johnson using a more traditional way to do the vaccine versus the mRNA from Pfizer and Moderna.
And what do we know at this point as far as the variants are concerned and how effective all three of those vaccines are against those?
Yeah, the variants are concerning for those who are unvaccinated. Those people vaccinated, it still appears to be pretty darn good, which is great, but we're still concerned. You know, when you look at the population, you know, we're going to still have over 7% or some 38% that won't be vaccinated here within the next month or two. So I would be very concerned. The Delta variant, very contagious, is easily going to spread amongst those who are not vaccinated and is nasty. I mean, we've had young people hospitalized in the past 2 weeks, young, healthy people that hadn't been vaccinated with the Delta variant, and it's very concerning.
Email from Madeline. If you are vaccinated but have type 1 or type 2 diabetes, are you safe not wearing a mask or social distancing, especially if you are with a small group and some may not be vaccinated?
Yeah, you know, anybody who has a decreased immune response, I think it really comes down to how you feel about it. So if you took diabetes, for the most part, those individuals are going to do fairly well with the vaccine. Their immune response is pretty darn good. Their chance of infection usually changes because of their increase in glucose levels and has more to do with your endocrine system than your immune system. However, those individuals that say, I do not want to get this infection, go ahead and wear a mask. If you're around unvaccinated people, the chance of them having an infection, even if asymptomatic, is much higher, obviously, than those vaccinated. So really, it's going to come down to a comfort level for a while until we can get the vaccinated population higher.
Here's a text. Good question. Is the immunity one has after actually having COVID the same immunity one gets from the vaccine?
Well, that's a question that we've all been asking. And the bad thing, I shouldn't say the bad thing, the interesting thing about this virus is think of the spectrum we've had, right? We've had people that have tested positive and have been totally asymptomatic, and we've had people all the way to needing lung transplants. So the immune system really varies from all of those individuals as far as what kind of response they're going to get. What we have seen is those who have had COVID and have some natural immunity get great immunity after a COVID shot on top of that. So you get the COVID vaccine after having the illness, you're getting a response rate in your immune system about 10 times higher than the rest of us are just from the vaccine. But we still know there's a lot of asymptomatic people that had this illness that we're not sure how good their immune system is going to be because it didn't give them symptoms.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks for the medical information and the storm aftermath update today, Doc. Have a good one.
You got it, Bob. Take care.